sitting here and I was just thinking, and I feel like I find this in my mind thinking this a lot when I'm ministers. How can a man declare the glories of God? Like, how can a man's mouth, a person, like, we're nothing. We're like dust. And yet God uses us to declare his glories. Like, to me, I marvel at that. And I look at God and I'm like, God, how do you use us? How do you use me to even begin to speak about how great you are? But he does. And so I just pray tonight, that when we get ready to pray, that God would be glorified, God would be magnified, and God would be exalted above all else. And that his name would be lifted up and his namesake in the earth would be made great. So let us pray that, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. Thank you for this time of worship where you ministered to us, God. You did. You inhabited our praises, as the scripture tells us. And God, I know that people were strengthened and encouraged. And I pray that tonight, Lord, what happened in the worship would continue on in the message, God, that people would be strengthened in their faith and in their heart tonight. Lord, that you would work in us, Jesus. And Lord, that you'd give my mouth the ability to speak everything that you wish to be spoken, God. Lord, help me, Father. I pray that you'd be glorified. I pray that you would be exalted, and not in any man in this room, but you, Jesus. For you're the one worthy of praise. You're the one worthy of all things. As the angels have gathered around your throne declaring, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy. God, let our hearts sing and let our hearts rejoice and declare that same truth tonight, God. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So to get started tonight, this is the continuation of where we've been and what we've been talking about. And so I am going to recap. Lee taught me something one time in my life. He said, don't be afraid to repeat yourself. Peter did it. And Peter says that he does it in his epistle. And he said, remind and remind and remind the church what has been spoken. And so that brought me great liberty when he shared that with me a long time ago, because I felt like I always had to find something original and new. And if I didn't, I wasn't spiritual, right? And that's the trap of ministry in many ways. And so tonight's a continuation of where we've been in the scripture. And if you remember a few Sundays ago, we talked about the mission of the church and what that means and what that looks like in our lives. And we've essentially boiled it down to the mission of the church is to make disciples. And it's a twofold work, where it's the work in and the work of the church. And that's where we kind of based everything off of, that this is why the church is on the earth today, is to make disciples. And then last week we continued on from that, because I didn't want to just leave us in a place where we had a mission and now we go and we fill a bunch of duties and we really don't have the heart of that mission. And we talked about the compassion of Jesus Christ, and I love that word. God just really moved in my life, the compassion. And he's growing it, and I know he's strengthening me more in there. So we talked about the fuel for the mission is compassion. And tonight what I want to do is I want to continue on, but it's going to be a little different. And if, just being up front with you, tonight's going to be a little bit more practical than the other two. There's going to be some things that I just want to bring out so that you can leave tonight and practically say, let's go do this. Let's walk in this. And I hope that word doesn't scare you. I hope it doesn't make you think like, oh gosh, that means, you know, it's a to-do checklist. It's not, okay? And I'll be very clear on that. But I want to give you practical things that you can walk in this week. And so what I want to address tonight is kind of just evangelism. And what evangelism, how it's supposed to look in many ways. And just for, and I guess I won't do a show of hands, but I thought about it. And I was thinking about this as far as evangelism goes. When we hear the word evangelism, we tend to think of a big outdoor outreach. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is wonderful, and that is exactly how God does. He does do that. We've seen it. We see it in Scripture. We've seen God use outreaches and big evangelistic crusades in the history of mankind. But I think sometimes we limit our understanding of evangelism in a box. And one of the things that God really wants, I believe, for us to understand is that we don't need to mold what God, how he wants to use us into a box. But we need to have liberty and creativity to be able to reach people. I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things that God really showed me, it just makes me happy, is out of all of creation, there's nothing has the gift of creativity but humanity. Because God creates, and he made us in his image. And so because of that, when we use the gifts he's given us, the functions that he's given us as human beings to create for the good and for to maybe evangelize, it's a good thing. And it's not to be limited, like it has to be the certain way. But tonight I pray that our understanding of what it looks like would expand and grow in our lives, and that we could begin to just even pray, God, show me something. It may be different, and that's okay. With that said, I just was thinking about this, and I really want to talk about just relational evangelism. Relational evangelism in our lives and how that is. The truth is that when many people hear the word, they kind of become afraid of it. Like Ben was saying last night, which y'all last night was incredible. I loved it. If you didn't come, please come next week. Like, it just encouraged me so much, you two. Thank y'all. And church, thank you for showing up. I mean, it was beautiful. Like, that's awesome. 165 people. Like, think about that, right? That are saying, we want to go share the gospel. What could happen from that? Oh, God, let's be excited. Let's be excited about that. And so with evangelism, everybody's doing it, okay? Everybody, truthfully, if we're being honest, everybody is doing the work of evangelistic work in some form of capacity in our lives. Now, maybe it's not what you think. A lot of people are evangelizing for things that aren't really the gospel, though. They're evangelizing exercise, or they're appealing for these things. Essential oils, LSU football, Avenger movies, Republican Democrats, TV shows. Everybody's doing some form of evangelism. Where they're trying to talk to people and they're like, hey, man, like this is, and they're just talking and talking. Because you talk about the things you love. And so everybody in their lives is doing some form of this if we're being honest with ourselves. But what God is asking us to do is that, and not that it's wrong to talk about those things, but that those things aren't the things that we go to evangelize with. We go to evangelize with the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. And so when we talk about these things, I would ask you this, and this is a simple question. CJ Jr., or the third, made a few months ago, he talked about how God just showed him why he was at his job. And I thought it was just so simplistic, but so profound. And I told him, I said, I wish, CJ, more people would ask that question. And what he did is he was just dealing with, you know, the difficulties of working at a job that's making him travel. And he was like, why am I doing all this, God? And why? And God told him very clearly, you're there for me. And I thought about that and I just thought, I wonder if many of us in here ask tonight, what or why am I in my job or what is my job? What would we really say? If I asked you, if someone came up to you on the street today and said, what is your job? You would most likely probably say your profession that you do. And that's fine. But the truth is that what God has called us to be is far more than that. If God were, if someone were to come with us, you know, it's easy for Jeff. He's the evangelist, so he says, I'm an evangelist. But if, you know, we have Ben here and somebody comes to Ben and they say, Ben, what do you do? Ben, it would be something to say, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. Like that is actually our job. That's actually what we're here for. We're not here just to work a 9-to-5 or whatever it might be. And yes, we work those, but we're in those places so that we can be an ambassador in those places, okay? We're in the places of work so that we can be ambassadors for Jesus in that environment. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is that I want to talk about being an ambassador for Jesus. And how being an ambassador for Jesus is an everyday, it requires an everyday living on the mission. Every day I'm living on this mission that Jesus has called me to be, and that is to be an ambassador for Jesus in the earth. And what that looks like and what that feels like. And so I kind of want to dive into that for a second. And I know we hear the word ambassador. And we're probably pretty familiar with it, but just for those who maybe are just like, what does that mean? What does Jesus mean when he, or what does Paul mean when he calls us an ambassador? I just want to tell you what clearly what an ambassador is in simplistic terms. An ambassador is just a representative. Yeah. Just a representative, right? So Paul calls us an ambassador. It means you're a representative. And he says an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So you're a representative for Jesus Christ. In the olden days, when Paul would be writing these letters, it basically was they were official representatives of kings and rulers. And in these ancient times, many of the kings and rulers would speak to the other nations through an official representative, which was the ambassador. And it was a highly sought after position. It was such an honor to be an ambassador. And I was just thinking about it like that today. Y'all, it is an honor what Jesus, what God says, you are my ambassadors in the earth. It's not a task or a duty that is painful. That's like, oh, well, you know, well, that's the lame job. Or why didn't I end up being an evangelist? Or why didn't I end up being, you know, a pastor or whatever? You're an ambassador for the King of Kings. Amen. That is the greatest honor any man has. And the truth is, every Christian is this.
Amen.
So this, we don't put it in classifications. Well, they're this and they're that. No, we're all ambassadors tonight. And if we live to be ambassadors for Jesus, I believe that God will do miraculous things in the earth. And we will see things shape and things happen that we never saw before. And so here's some qualities and traits I just want to give to you about ambassadors, just to help us understand them a little bit more. Is an ambassador was appointed by a king. It was never voted into position. Okay? So you did not earn your way or earn votes to get you to be an ambassador for Jesus. God has declared it to be so. So this is what you are. This is what I am. And the sooner I realize that and the sooner I receive it and rejoice in it, the better it will be for my sake. The ambassadors did not choose their assignments, but they were commanded by their king. They didn't have the right to say, I will go to this nation, I'll go to this one. They were told by their king where they are to go. Their assignment was given to them by their king. As ambassadors would go many times and live in a foreign land that's far distant from the land they're used to. And this is very true for us. We live in a world that the Bible tells us is not really our home. It's different than us. It thinks differently than us. It acts differently than us. It does things that we're not familiar with in a sense. Maybe we did in our former life, but now that we are ambassadors for Christ and we have a new heavenly home, it is an unfamiliar home. In that sense, our heavenly home is so much different than this world. And so we're sent into a foreign land, just like these ambassadors were. Ambassadors were to represent the state or the kingdom that they were in. And they were committed to that state. They were committed to the king or the king that would send them. They were committed to his interest and his interest alone, or that kingdom's alone. He would embody the nation or the state or the kingdom that he would come from. And he would never become a citizen of the state or the kingdom to which he had to enter into. He would have access to all his nation's wealth for his assignment. So you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ tonight, and he's sending you out as ambassadors. You have access to all the wealth that Jesus has for you to be able to accomplish the mission which he sends you into. And he would never speak about his personal opinion or personal position. But if any issue, he would speak about the king's position. We speak for Christ. We don't speak our agendas in the earth. And he was empowered by the king who would send him. And his goal would be this: to influence the territory for his kingdom and for his king and to the world that he was sent into. So this is just a brief understanding of what ambassadors did and what they still do today. And I thought about looking stories into like ambassador stories and stuff. And I saw Benjamin Franklin, but I was like, I'm not going to do all that. But there was all these different kinds of ambassadors and really actually pretty cool stories. But what I decided not to, and I just decided, let's just talk about what does a good ambassador look like? If you're an ambassador and I'm an ambassador, what does a good ambassador look like tonight? How do I live as an ambassador for Jesus Christ in the earth today? You have to understand, this is your calling today. This is what God has asked of you. And so if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 21. And it's a very, very commonly read passage. And you're probably familiar with it even right now, and you know what it says. But I want to look at this. And I want to bring some things out that I believe that shapes how an ambassador ought to live as a representative. Remember, ambassador is just a representative of Jesus Christ and the earth today. And so we'll start in verse 15. And it said, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And this is where our sermon's found. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he died, or for our sake he made to be sin, who knew no sin, so that he might become, so we might become the righteousness of God. And so I want to give you several different things today about what is an ambassador. How do they live? What do they do? What, as we are in this earth, how are we supposed to function? Because we have to understand this is the call. So what do I do? How do I live? And the first thing I'd say, and I'm just going to be very brief on this one. And honestly, I didn't have this originally in there, but I just felt like it's so foundational for us to understand, is an ambassador has to know the one who sent him. Like, I didn't add this, I didn't put any notes on this, but I just thought to myself, like, we have to have that. We have to know intimately the one that sends us, and that's Jesus. I can't go be a representative of Jesus if I don't know Jesus. It is so important for us to have an intimate understanding of who Jesus is. And really what I mean by that is we have to understand the love that Jesus has for us. We have to understand that. Because if we don't understand God's love for us or Christ's love for us, I promise you, you're not going to be able to love others like you want to. You're not. One of the greatest things that God has ever done for my life was helping me understand the way that I love God more is not by pulling my bootstraps up, but is simply by reflecting on his love for me that causes me to love him. And so the foundation for an ambassador is this: you must understand God's love for you. And if you're in here and you say tonight, how do I do that? Bro, you just get in the altar and you say, God, reveal your love to me. And I promise you, he's faithful to do that. He's faithful to show his love. You can think upon the cross, but you can reflect upon your own life and the goodness of God, and you can see the love that God has shed abroad for all of us in our hearts. And so the first thing I just want to say just quickly is this. An ambassador must know intimately the one who sends him. And I really mean by that, he must know the love that the king has for him. He's not sending him into a mission just to destroy him, but he loves him. Okay? He loves him. So from here, the next point I'll give this is this, is that ambassadors live for the king who sent them. What makes a good ambassador? It's those who live for the king that sent them. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says this, and he died for all, speaking of Jesus, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Who for their sake died and was raised. So the first thing I'd say, or the second thing I'd say is about an ambassador, is this: an ambassador, a good, faithful ambassador, understands I am not living for myself. I'm living for the one who died for me. I'm living for the one who gave his life for me. I'm living for the king. I'm living for the one who sends me, and it's King Jesus. But if I'm being honest with you today, I realize in my life, this isn't always the case. Yes, I'm an ambassador. I understand that. That's what Jesus calls me. But my life does not reflect as one living for the king. And in fact, what happens many times with just the world, but Christians fall into this all the time, is we get entrapped by the cares of this world and by the cares of this life. And instead of going, like, imagine the king says, come, and he gathers his ambassador and he tells him, this is what you're going to go do. And he sends him into the thing, into the field. He sends him into his mission. And the ambassador gets in there and he starts looking, you know, okay, I'm going to serve the king. I'm going to serve the king. I live for the one who sent me. And the next thing he knows, he finds his eye looking towards something else. And he begins to pursue that other thing. And before he knows it, he's no longer a faithful ambassador to the one who sent him. And this is the trap that we fall into in this life. What many people do is that they begin to live for the things of this world, not realizing that Christ never called us to live for that. And I don't say this to say these things are evil, but many people, including myself, have lived simply for safety, comfort, and happiness. I'm an ambassador, and just to be honest with you, as ambassadors, you're not guaranteed safety. You're not guaranteed comfort, And you're not guaranteed happiness in the terms of the world. We're not. All right? This is the King who sent us. But we live for him regardless if whether my life is going to lead me into a place where I might not be safe. The King has, he knows what he's doing, and I trust him. And I can't live for those things. And I want to show you how Jesus actually talked about this. Jesus himself lived for this. So if you turn to Matthew 16, verse 26. It's a very familiar scripture. And now I'll just read it to you. It says this: "For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" It's a very popular scripture. And just reading it itself, you feel the weight of it. You feel it. You understand it. But as I was looking into this, I realized, y'all, when you look into the context, it opens it up a lot more. And this is really what happens. If you back up and understand what led to Jesus making this statement. If you're familiar with the passage, Jesus comes and he begins to talk to his disciples and he tells them, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross," right? He's confessing, he's telling these things. And Peter says something. Y'all know what Peter said. What did Peter say? Yeah, this won't happen. No way. No way. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." And this is what he actually says with him. He says, "For you are not setting your minds on the things of God, but on the things of man." So this led up to Jesus making this statement about profiting, about not living a life that is all about my profit in this world. Because what Peter was doing is Peter was trying to tell Jesus, like, no, you're not going to do that. Because in a sense, what he was saying is self-preservation. Self-preservation is what Peter was saying in this sense. He was saying this. And so Jesus deals with him because of that. Jesus says, "This is what's going to happen." Peter says, no. Jesus says, "You're thinking like men. You're not thinking like about the things of God like I would." Jesus did not live for self-preservation, but he lived for the purpose that the Father sent him. And so even as ambassadors, a true ambassador does not live for the sake of self-preservation. My safety, my happiness, my things, me and what I want and going after the things that I enjoy more than anything else in this life. That is not what a faithful ambassador does. But a faithful ambassador, not that it's wrong, okay? God blesses us, thank God. But the truth is a faithful ambassador does not get entangled by the things of the world where it's like, I'm preserving my life. That's what he dealt with Peter. That's what he was getting at. And then Jesus says, if anybody would follow me, they need to lay down their life and follow me. So join me in this life of not preserving yourself. Faithful ambassador, do not hold on or do not get entangled by the things that would stop you from following Christ to whatever he has called you to be. And in fact, in Luke 12, there's another story here, and I'll summarize it for you. But essentially, it's this: Jesus gives a parable about this man who's very wealthy. And what he does is he says, like, what am I going to do? You know, I have all this wealth. I have all these crops. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build larger ones. And there I'm going to store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what God says to him? It says, God says that night to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You have been rich for yourself, or you've treasured stuff up for yourself, but you've not been rich towards God. And then, following this passage, Jesus begins to expound about not living for the cares of this world. Not being anxious for food nor clothing and all these things. Very familiar passages. How he's going to clothe the lilies. He's going to take care of the sparrows. How he does all these things. So he's following these things like, don't live where you're living to be rich towards this world. He's dealing with this. And then he goes into this place and he says, don't live being anxious for these things. And he's saying, I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to take care of you. Don't live that life. But I stopped to ask myself the question, why does Jesus say all that? And the next passage actually deals with, verse 35 says, he says, the reason why he is telling them not to get caught up in the treasures of this world and not to do the things, that, like to fall in love with all these things, like the nations do or the Gentiles do, they go after these things and they get entangled by them. The reason why is, he says in verse 35, so that you can stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And then it's that passage that Lee's been ministering on like crazy about, you know, the lamps and all these things and when Christ is going to come. And what he says and what I believe marks an ambassador is this. One who says, though this world would pull me aside, though this world would say, come enjoy the treasures and make yourself happy here and make this your world and make this the place that you'll live and you'll enjoy more than anything. A good ambassador says, no. I'm going to live for the eternal things. I'm going to be rich towards God, and I'm going to be steady. I'm going to be a life that is devoted to Christ. I'm going to be a life that is seeking after the things of God. I'm going to say dressed for action, because I understand I've been sent in as the delegate of Jesus Christ, and nothing is going to sidetrack me from that. Nothing in this life will sidetrack me. So I'm going to stay dressed for action, and I'm going to keep the lamps burning. A faithful ambassador does not get entangled by the affairs of this life. And that's hard, because you look and it's like, we all do it. I can't tell you how many times, even within the last few months, it's like I'm serving God and I'm faithful. And all of a sudden, something catches my attention and I find myself giving hours a day just thinking about it. And I don't want to put law in that sense, but it was like, there's a difference. You know the difference when it's like it consumes you. It consumes you. That what it did is it took my eyes off of actually living as an ambassador. I became more consumed with pursuing this than as an ambassador. And the truth is, y'all, is that many of us in the Christian world today, we are ambassadors, but we're ambassadors that are distracted and we're asleep from our mission. I mean, that like what has happened in the country should not happen if ambassadors are awake and fulfilling the mission. It shouldn't. If ambassadors are fighting, if ambassadors' lamps are burning, if they're working and staying dressed for action, ready for battle, ready for the things that they're called to be and do, I don't believe we'd have lost so much ground in the way we have. And I think it's okay for us to say, all right, we can repent and we can say, God, fix my eyes. Help me to keep my eyes ahead. Help me to live and stay focused as an ambassador who is focused on the things you have called me to be. So an ambassador lives for the king who sent him. He lives for the king who sent him. He does not get caught up in the things of this earth and begins to live for those things, but he lives for the thing, for the king who sent him. And so this leads us to the second point. So if an ambassador is sent in there, he's not distracted. He's going to stay focused. He's going to stay dressed for action. He understands why God has sent him in there. What is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to say? It's this. Ambassador speaks for the one who sent him. So he knows the one who sends him. He lives for the one who sends him. And now he's going to speak for the one who sends him. So what do you do as an ambassador? You speak. You speak. What are you supposed to speak? And verses 17 through 19 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, that gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And this is a scripture, like we could really open this up, but we don't have time for all that. But I'd say this, what do the ambassadors speak? They do not speak their own messages. Ambassadors do not go to a king, or they do not go to the foreign land and say, well, you know, I'm just going to make up my own message and I'm going to figure out what to say. They say the message that the king has declared. And according to this scripture, the message that the king has declared for us to go and speak is that God himself has reconciled all men to himself. And this is the privilege that you and I have, the high honor of King Jesus, is that we get to go and declare reconciliation has come. What an honor. It's so true. What is reconciliation? Most of us, I pray, would know this, but I'll just read it and I put it in simple terms like this. It's just, if you could imagine two friends who were fighting and they were arguing. They had this great relationship they once enjoyed, but something happened and it totally broke their relationship. And they stopped speaking to each other, and communication was deemed awkward and nobody would talk. And the only way that they could restore this relationship is if reconciliation came in and
restore the harmony of the relationship. So simply put, what is reconciliation? It's when two people were together and they broke together. They broke. All right. Something caused a break. It happens in the world. It happens in people's lives daily, sadly, where people break. And then something comes to reconcile them together. And we know this is the message that you, like, you're the king, you're living for the king. Now you got to go speak for the king. What does the king have you to speak? He has you to speak this message that he, God, created the earth. And he loved humanity, and he created humanity. And when he created humanity, he created him in an intimate place with them, a fellowship, a harmony, something that was so unique that nothing and no one else, no other creature had but us. And you may sit here and say, well, that's elementary. Keep telling it to yourself. Because if you don't remind yourself, you'll get caught up in the affairs, I promise you. But this is what he did. And you know how it goes. Adam, the one he loved, the one who he had harmony with, relationship that was so intimate, rebelled against him. And in that rebellion, he didn't just rebel and like, oh, you know, accidentally. It's like Adam, in a sense, declared war on God. And in fact, that's kind of what Romans says, is that now they became enemies. They're not just like that. It's not that they accidentally broke up and it was like a breakup kind of thing. It was like Adam rebelled and said, war. I declare war. And the news is this, that though Adam fell and sin entered the earth, sin entered and destroyed everything and ruined it all for us. And it's come down to all men. As scripture tells us so plainly, Jesus comes. God begins the rescue mission of Jesus Christ and sends him to the earth. And y'all know the story. He goes to the cross and he pays the penalty. He bears our sin. He bears the wrath of God so that we can be reconciled to the Father. This is the greatest news you could ever hear. It really is. Like it's the greatest news. It's the greatest news a man could ever hear. It's profound, it's amazing, and it should move us. And it should be something like, this is the message you've been given to declare. This is beautiful. To me, this is glorious. What this speaks of to me is when I read these scriptures, and I'll read them to you quickly. When I read these scriptures, Romans 5, 10 through 12, it says, for if while we were enemies, right, war on God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were enemies. We were throwing bombs at the kingdom of God. It wasn't that I just opposed it or just kind of disliked it. We were living lives that were actively trying to tear down the kingdom of God. That's how the scripture paints it. And reconciliation because of Jesus comes. Colossians 1, 19 through 22 says, and through him, speaking of Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in your mind and doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. Think about that. Think about that. Enemies of God. Enemies of God in complete rebellion of God. Not only did he die that your sin could be removed and that the blood could cleanse you, but now he makes you completely holy. Holy before God. That you are righteous before God. That is an amazing truth. Ephesians 2, 16 through 17. He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace, speaking of Jesus, to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. Not only did Jesus bring peace between us and the Father, but he brought peace between man. So we live in a day and age where people are at war with each other. What's the answer? What's the answer to this issue? This is, if you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 2, he's dealing with the division between of Gentiles and Jews. What's the answer to everything, the division, to men being separated from God, all these things? It's the message of reconciliation. It's the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you as an ambassador, this is what you've been given. You live in a world, you've been sent into a world that is completely opposed and hostile to God. They're even hostile to each other. Turn on the news and you see it clearly. They're hostile towards each other. And guess what you have? You have the greatest message that reconciles men to God, but it also reconciles men to men. Hallelujah. Think about that for a moment.
There are people in this room tonight that outside of this church, if I were lost and they were lost, we would have no relation. We would actually probably be enemies. And I've actually had somebody tell me that before. They said, I would strongly dislike you and I probably would have punched you. I guess I'm weird. I don't know. It's kind of a strange comment when they made that. They said, but because of Christ Jesus, like, I love you, he was saying. He said, I just love, like, I feel so, it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just so in love with you, is what they're saying. And it's because the message of reconciliation was preached to them and was preached to me. And so if you have any desire or any hope, and you're sitting here and you're saying, how do we bring a change in this world? You preach the message that this is telling us to preach. This is the message of the King. This is the message of the King for us. And the message is this. That God makes all things new. That God removes your guilt, your shame, your uncleanliness, your sin. And he did so through his son, Jesus, on the cross and dying for our sins. That we might be made sons and daughters of the living God. I'm going to be honest with you. That doesn't affect me enough. It doesn't affect me enough that I'm a son of the living God. Like the living God, not a fake imaginary God in the sky or something. Like it doesn't affect my life enough. It's not enough of a reality. My gosh, like think about that. I pray God would open my heart, open my mind to that understanding that I would understand like I've been made a son of the living, the only true, the God who created all things, the God who's above all things, the God who holds the earth in his hands, the God who makes the earth his footstool, the God who looks at the nations as dust in a bucket, as drops in a, like that God I'm the son of today. And you're the daughter and son of. Like, and y'all, there are people in this world who are walking around and they're fatherless and they're broken and they're empty. And they have no hope. And God has sent an ambassador with the message of this. It's you and I. It's you and I. It's so beautiful. And then from this, it moves on. And I'd say the last point of an ambassador that I have for us tonight is this. Is that ambassadors, not only do they know the God, that, or the King who sent them. And not only do they live for the King who sent them. And not only do they speak for the King who sent them, but ambassadors act and embody the King who sent them. And this is very important for us to understand. Verse 20 through 21 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The life of the ambassador must be one that not only speaks the message of the King, but it also reflects the character of the King and the kingdom of which the King rules. An ambassador is essentially, he embodies the King. He embodies the nation that he comes from. And this is why a Christian's lifestyle is so important. This is why it matters how we live. Because we represent the King. Because we embody what the King is. This is why when we hear people say, man, I don't want to listen to these people. It's right. What you see is these Christians who come and they talk about the grace and the mercy of God. And they're like, God's grace and mercy. And yet they never extend grace and mercy to anybody else. What representation of that is your King? They're like, how should I believe that? Philippians 1:27 says this, and I love this verse. We use it at the prayer at the Capitol. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In the context, what it says is that so that your opponents may be frightened, that they'd be frightened by these things. And essentially is what it's saying is, let your lifestyle be such a way that it speaks of the gospel. It makes the message of reconciliation that we talked about, the message that the King gives us, it makes it not only a message, but it's lived out in your life. The gospel does not end at salvation. I will say that till I'm dead. People feel like the gospel is a means for me to get saved. The gospel is a continuing work in your life. It is a continuing truth. It continues on in your life in this sense that the gospel, the story of the gospel begins to take effect in your life where now you begin to live the characteristics of the gospel story. The characteristics of the gospel story is forgiveness. Are you living that today? Are you being, right now in your workplaces, are you being maybe used by people and abused and treated unfairly like Ben talked about last night? You know what Ben's story, if you were there last night when he's talking about that guy who was treated him like that, and it opened up eventually the opportunity for the gospel, or for Ben to share with him. It's a beautiful story. It was beautiful. Is that because Ben's life not only proclaimed the gospel, his life lived the gospel with forgiveness and mercy, that that man actually got to be exposed to the truth. And he couldn't sit back and say like, he's fake. He couldn't do it. Because Ben's life reflected this gospel. It reflected it in such a way. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You are an ambassador. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And this is the gospel truth. When you see the message of the gospel, the message of reconciliation, there are characteristics that go with that in your life. There's so many, but I just reading this, I was just thinking, grace. Grace. Your life should be seasoned with grace. It should be seasoned with mercy. Is that not the cross? Is that not the cross? Grace and mercy. Peace, hope, kindness, forgiveness, power. Is the cross not power? Right? That was not a weak display by God, by Jesus. Love and patience, service, preferring others over yourselves. All of these things the world cannot understand, and nor can they emulate. Because they're not ambassadors of Christ Jesus. But we are. And so our lifestyle reflects this. In our actions, we are either bringing glory to the heavenly nation that we've come from, and that is where Jesus rules, or we are living a life that could bring reproach to it. How many times have you heard it said, man, they're Christian, but they're the meanest people around? Lee, he says this all the time in his sermons, they shoot their own dead. Or they shoot their wounded. They shoot their wounded. They shoot their wounded, right? It's a pity that that is how many people see Christianity. We can't just proclaim the message. We've got to live the message. We've got to understand that it has to begin to work in my life in a greater way. If I want to be a faithful ambassador for Jesus in the earth, we need to live in such a way that we enhance the reputation of the gospel and of Christ Jesus' work in the earth. And we must not do anything that damages it. We have a responsibility as ambassadors. What if you were an ambassador? You think of an ambassador. He was sent in there and he's to represent this king. And he goes to this nation and he starts like, you know, acting like completely opposite of how the king told him to act. And he starts doing stupid stuff. And the people are like, man, I don't know if I want to sign a treaty with this guy. I don't know if I want to. That's what happens. If we begin to live like the world does, if we get to embrace the system of the world, beginning to act and do the things that the world would do, that is what can happen to us. So I would say to draw this conclusion is that our lives are meant to live in such a way that are representatives of the King. But I understand when we hear this, these things I'm saying. The first one to me is like, it's a joy. It's like this joyful thing that like, thank God I can be intimate with him. I knowing the king that sends you, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's like, from there, it kind of gets kind of like, it can be hard. It can feel hard. But what I love about God's scripture in this is that God's scripture, even when he gives us things that appear difficult to us, he doesn't leave us in that place. Always gives us the ability to do it. Always gives us the power to do it. And so it says this, let me read it to you again. Verse 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And please just continue to read for me for a second for the next verse. Working together with him. Then when we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now was the favorable time. Behold, now was the day of salvation. You know why this comforts me? Because I hear, okay, I live for the one who sent me. I live for the king. Man, I get caught up in the affairs of this world, God, and I know I do. Or I'm supposed to speak the message of the king, which is the good news in the gospel, but I'm so afraid and I can't do it. You know, Or maybe you find yourself and you're sitting there, and I know I'm supposed to live like a good Christian. I know I'm supposed to live in a conduct that the world looks and they say the gospel's real in this person's life. But I find myself continuing to mess up. You know why this is so comforting? Because it says this, God makes his appeal through us. Meaning this, you're not doing this by yourself. He makes you the ambassador. And not only does he make you the ambassador, but he puts his life of Jesus in you. And that life of Jesus, because the life of Jesus, and you said this a few weeks ago, and it was so profound about, man, we would see more miracles if we understood the life that was in us. Like the one, the power, the one who actually lives in us. The truth is, Jesus, he puts his life in us. And so because he begins to work in us and appeals through us to the world, he begins to appeal. But not only that, he makes us the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God. What is guaranteed to come out of your life if you are the righteousness of God? The character of God, the works of God, the things of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Because you have been made the righteousness of God, you're not using tools like your flesh. You don't have that. You're not going out to do this, to be an ambassador with your flesh and all these things. But you have the righteousness of God given to you, holiness. And now it begins to produce things in you and they begin to come out of your life. So while those three things can be heavy and you can be like, I mess up. I don't live for the king as faithful as I want to. I don't speak his word like I want to. And I certainly don't live my life like I want to. Guess what? Christ is appealing through you because he's living in you and you're the righteousness of God, which is going to bring out the fruits of God. And then the last thing about that is he says, now we're working together with him. You're not doing it by yourself. God's working. And all you're really doing as an ambassador, Ben kind of said it last night, all you're really doing as an ambassador is joining in with what God's doing. He's already working. I think this is the most amazing thing in the world. One of the most amazing things about God is that, there's not a single person in the planet he's not doing something in right now. 8 billion people, and he's doing something in them right now. Every single person. He's working things together. He's beginning to draw them. He's beginning to pull them in. He's beginning to make these things happen. And all we get to do, like this scripture tells us, is look, we get to work together with him. He's at work. So you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, all I do is I sin and I'm afraid to share the gospel with my cat, like Ben said last night. So how am I supposed to represent God as a faithful ambassador, as a good ambassador? You talk about a good ambassador and you give me these four things about being a good ambassador, but I can't do that. Know this. The comfort is that he's making his appeal through us, meaning he's doing this in us so that now we become the righteousness of God. So there's life in us that's going to come out of us and we are working together with him. We're not working by ourselves. So you are a fully equipped ambassador today. Fully equipped. You're not lacking anything. The God of the universe is doing it. I love that. So with all that, because it's a lot, I understand. And I told you this at the beginning, as I wanted this to kind of be a practical sermon. And you would maybe hear that and you're like, okay, well, how do I do the practicality of this? And I was really thinking about this and just praying because I think sometimes we understand, okay, I'm an ambassador of God. I need the Spirit of God to lead me. And so we begin to pray, God, lead me this week and help me to encounter someone to share the gospel with or whatever. Maybe not be sharing the gospel, to love or show kindness. And that's a wonderful prayer, and I think everybody should do it every single day. But I think when we do that, we kind of have this approach to evangelism where it's like, I hope I bump into somebody mentality. But ambassadors were sent to specific places for specific purposes. Okay? So this is going to go back to the beginning. Ambassadors were never sent to a country on accident thinking, I hope I bump into somebody. It was never the case. The ambassador knew, here's your mission. You live for me. This is what you say. You live this. This is your lifestyle. And I want you to go directly to that place. And so the king would always send the ambassador to a very specific place. Very specific places. They were not random places. And the truth is that what makes this so beautiful about being an ambassador is that every single one of us have been sent into specific places by God in our lives. Every single one of us have been sent to places where God has intentionally put us there. I would say it like this. Every place that you and I are placed today is simply because the sovereign hand of God has chosen that he might have an ambassador there. So I asked you earlier, why do I do what I do? Why am I this? Because you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Why am I in this place? Why am I this person? Why do I work this job? Because you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Because you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Because if we get into this, they're the ones that work this, and they're the ones that get to do the church activity. We're totally missing it. The honor is being an ambassador. It's not about where you work. It's about being an ambassador for Jesus. And so what I'm going to do for you tonight, and by no means is this something I'm going to say, you have to go home and fulfill this in this way. But I want to give you something that this week you can begin to say, I want to be intentional. I don't just want to bump into somebody and please, please pray. Like, I understand that. You should pray that prayer. Philip was led of the Spirit. He was led into the Ethiopian man. But I also want you to think, where's God placed me? Where's God placed me? So I came, I saw something similar to this, and I adapted it to how I thought it should be done. It's a little card, and Rachel and Becca are actually going to go around and give them to you. Okay, and I made this for us as a church. And I talked to Lee about it, and by no means are we now all of a sudden this makes us like we're under some law and we got to fill out some card and now this, you know, what we do, okay? I used to be afraid to do stuff like this, and I was in law to that. I was afraid of like that. It became a law to me. And so that's not what we're doing, but I want to show you something. So, Billy, you can go ahead and pull up the first image. And I call this your five circles of influence. Your five circles of influence in your life where God has placed you. And look, you're an ambassador. You're not there by accident. You're not just accidentally bumping into shoulders with someone there. You're actually there, assigned by the king, by his sovereign hand. He has chosen you to be in this place. All right? These are five places. And every one of us can look at this and say, okay, I can relate to this. I can say this. All right? So number one, the first place is this, your family. Everybody. I'm sure you have one lost family member. You're an ambassador for them. You're an ambassador for them. Your place of work. Some of you may not work somewhere. Okay? That's okay. And then a place where maybe you go, you see, you know, you go out and about. I would consider this a place like maybe a business you frequently visit. Some of you, you go to coffee shops all the time. You go to the same one. You frequently go to this place and you visit there often. Or maybe it's the same grocery store you go to all the time. You're always there. And you start to begin to see what? Familiar faces, and God has an ambassador in that place now. Is it accident? Is it coincidence? No. It is by the sovereign hand of God that you've been placed in these circles. And then a place you live near, your neighbors. Your neighbors. And then your friends, all right? And I would consider this, you could also put this as maybe the place of hobby that you go to. Some of you in here right now, you are playing volleyball like crazy. You think you're playing volleyball simply because you enjoy it? Yes. But also because God wants an ambassador in that place. For those who, you know, there's others who are playing soccer and there's others doing this. It's because God wants an ambassador in that place. And you are that ambassador. So these are five places that everybody can say, okay, I can think of that. I could understand that, right? I could understand this family. There's work, okay, where I go to work. Maybe places that I commonly visit, you know, it could be that coffee shop I go to, could be a certain grocery store, places I live near, so or around me, maybe my neighborhood or different things, and then friends or places of hobbies, you know, where people I hang out with and fellowship with, relationships that I have. And all these things, what I want you to do is I want you to think about, is there not one person in each one of those places that you desire to be an ambassador to? Could you think of that right now? Could you look at that list? Could you look at your card? And could you actually say, right there, and I'll be honest with you, many of you know this, my brother-in-law, he's lost. He actually used to lead worship here, if you don't know this. He led worship in this church. He helped lead, and he ran from God. And so for me, I automatically begin to look at that, and I say, my brother-in-law, it's that easy. It's not easy. There's somebody in my life. And I could go through this list and I could put a name for each one. And maybe some of you, you don't have one for any, but or for one of them, but you could put two for another, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no way you have to do it a certain way. But I want you to think about putting a name for each one of these people or each one of these categories. And then what I want you to think about is I want you to think about how can I minister to them? Not by hopingly, accidentally, but I'm going to begin to intentionally live to be an ambassador in that individual's life. Starting this week with my life. Oh man, I want that. I look at this list, and so these are just simple ways. It's not limited to this, so don't think these are the things we must do and these are the things we can only do, okay? No, these are just ideas that you could look at and you could easily do, and I'll share them with you right now. Number one, we should all be doing this. If you fill out those five places, number one, are you praying for those people? Could you start praying for those people? Like Ben said the other night, and like Billy said the other night, can we begin to pray? That is the most foundational thing when it comes to being an ambassador for Jesus. God, begin to work in their heart. God, begin to draw them. God, begin to stir them. God, begin to provoke them. Begin to make them feel empty. Begin to make them feel lonely. Whatever it might be, bring them to a place where they're ready for the gospel to come into their heart. Everybody can do that. And there's not a single person here who can say, I'm eliminated from that. And this is not an order sheet, so you don't have to go in order of this. But number two, it could be, can I serve them? And be honest with my brother-in-law right now. He's not open to the gospel. He's definitely not interested in any type of gospel literature, and I'll explain that in a second. And he's definitely not coming to this church. He's made that very clear with us. But you know what I can do is I can pray for him and I can serve him. I can serve him. I can begin to do, I can show what? I can show what? I can live and I can embody how the King is. I can let my life show the acts of the King and how the King would live in the earth and begin to reveal that to him through these things. All right. Then you got give gospel-centered literature. This is what I'm about to call you Papa. His name is CJ, but I call him Papa CJ. So Papa CJ, this is what he did this week. He took these Gospels of John and he just handed them out. He gave gospel literature out. Or it could be this. You know somebody that you've been having conversations with and, you know, maybe they're like, I'm interested in Christianity, but here's my big issue. The Bible is not real and it's not accurate. Maybe you just give them something. There's tons of little pamphlets. I have some if you're interested in them. And they're not long. They're very simple. It could be a simple, and they're open to that. They're open. They say, I would love for you to help me understand it if it is true. Why don't you just give them something that says, something that shows how the Bible is accurate and dependable and reliable. How easy is that? Right? Now, not everybody's in that place, but some people may be. Some people may be ready to receive literature. Some people may be ready to receive to be served. All people are ready to be prayed for. Some may even be ready to be invited to church. So can you just go invite somebody to church? Is it that, like, do you see how easy these things are? See, you write this list down of these names and you begin to pray, God, how do you want me? Do you want me to serve them? Do you want me? Should I give something to them? Are they ready for that? You see, that's individualistic. It's not just one size fits all. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. So you need to be led of the Holy Spirit when you're doing these things. Like, you could jump in and you could try to speak the gospel to them right off the back and they're not ready. But you easily could have served them and it would open that door there. Or maybe they are ready. Maybe they're ready right then and there to hear the gospel and get born again and get saved. But the truth is that these are simple things anybody can do as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so if you took this, like, it was the simplicity of what you did this week. And it was awesome. It was awesome what happened. If you took this and you said, I'm going to put my names. And I'm going to begin to pray. God, do this. Show me. Show me these individuals. Show me how I can live as an intentional ambassador for them today. How I can show them who Jesus is. I just want to give you a testimony. I'm closing. And you can come up, worship team. And some of you know my story with my neighbor. Some of you don't. But during the beginning of COVID, my neighbor was very not happy with me because I had Levi, wherever he's at, I had Levi come to my house and Brady come to my house to work out. And they liked to work out, so I allowed them to use my house. And my neighbor wasn't happy with that. And so my neighbor, and even Hayden, He did some things that, I'm going to be honest with y'all, he stepped over the line and he actually infringed on my rights as a citizen. Big time. Like, and Hayden's rights as a citizen. He did some things he shouldn't have done. And immediately my response was this. Like, man, who is this guy? You know, like that's what I thought. And even some people told me, you need to go and, you know, hammer that down kind of thing. And I get it. That's our flesh. That's how we respond. But God really spoke to me, said, I want you to live at peace with all men. And so I waited a few days. I prayed through this thing. And I went and I addressed him. And not only did we have a good conversation, but he actually repented and asked for forgiveness. And this is a guy, me and Becca had been praying for months. God opened the door for us. Opened the door for us. Like, we don't know what to do, right? We want to love these people. We want to see them come to know you. But we really don't know what to do. And we had prayed. And it seemed we invited them to our house. We invited them to dinner. We did all these things. And like, it's just door was shut, okay? And then this happened. And he asked for forgiveness. He even told me to tell Hayden he apologized. He was deeply sorry. And it was awesome. It really was. Well, Becca texts his wife this week. And because her mother has cancer, we found out. And she told Becca this because Becca was asking, how's your wife doing? Or how's your mother doing? And she said, well, the original diagnostic was initially very bad. But she's been responding to chemo, and thank you for asking. And she said this, I really wanted to apologize to you for my husband's bad behavior. I want to thank you so much and to your husband for reaching out and being direct with him. He is not a bad person. He just seems to lose his way frequently. His relationship with God has been on shaky ground. Your prayers for my family are definitely appreciated, as your family is in mine. And y'all, you may not think that's a big deal. But when you have somebody who literally is like, I could have called the cops on him and sent the man to jail for what he was doing. But because God had given me wisdom, and I had a desire to say, you know what? I'd been praying this, God, you did not place me or put me in this place I live by accident. I'm not in this neighborhood by accident. I'm an ambassador where I'm at. I'm an ambassador for the living King. And there's a man that needs to hear the gospel. He needs to hear the message of the King. And God, I need to show him through my life how gospel, how the King is, the way I live. And God did it. God did it. And this man, and just reading that message, y'all, I know God is opening doors, and I ultimately know God wants to save him. And I get to be the ambassador by which God might do it. What an honor. What an honor it is. And church, this is what I want to say to us tonight. Does this all make sense? Clear enough? If you're confused, just come talk to me after. I'll help you. But I want to say this. As you are all ambassadors, let's live intentionally for it. Let's not get caught up in the things of the world. Let's declare the good message that God has given us. That is so amazing. And let our lives begin to reflect. And remember, you're not just doing it by yourself. He's with you. He's equipped you. He's empowered you. You get to go do that. And so I'd ask you, maybe you could fill this out now. But what I would love for us to do is to come to the altars with yours, okay? And to begin to pray. God, show me. Please don't just sit back and say, well, you know, because it's some, you know, something new and we've never done that before, I just don't think that's that cool, or I don't think it's Spirit-led. Guys, anytime you could, if you could just take this and put those five names and put them in your Bible and you happen to open that every day and pray, that's beautiful. That's a good thing. So I would ask you, if you could come to the altars and bring these with you and begin to pray, God, you have made me an ambassador for you. You've made me an ambassador in this earth. You have called me. I don't work at this place by accident. I don't have this family by accident. I don't know these friends by accident. I don't visit this place by accident. I don't live in this neighborhood by accident. In fact, you've ordained and you've even sovereignly put me in these places. Why? Because I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so God, those people that are in those places, would you begin to lay them on my heart? Would you begin to put them? It's not always that we have to go to a crusade to reach people. We get to live it in front of them, like in the places He's already commissioned us and placed us. And so begin to pray over it. Pray. Ask God, show me. And rejoice. And this week, I would ask you, this week, begin to pray. God, could I do one of these things? Could you show me? Could you lead me? Maybe it's something we didn't put on there, and that's fine, please. But God, let me be an intentional ambassador for your purpose in the earth. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Lord, what an honor it is to be an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, thank you that as we are ambassadors for you, God, we are not ambassadors and just left to our own devices, but we have the riches of the King who sends us to go and accomplish everything that you've called us to accomplish. So God, begin to work in our hearts. People, put them in our minds, put them in our hearts right now. Specific people that you have placed around our lives, that you desire an ambassador to be. The reason why you are there is to be that ambassador. And the reason why I know you love them, God, is because you've placed me there to show them that love, God. So Lord, I pray, Father, that you would begin to work miracles this week. Open up doors for gospel conversations. Open up doors for prayer. Open up doors for things we've never seen before. I pray for people in their workplace this week, God, that you would begin, people would have, even starting tomorrow, there would be doors open for the gospel, for friendship, for the love of Jesus Christ to come out of our people. Oh God, you must do it. And teach us all the while as we do this to be led of your Spirit. We just don't rush in and do crazy things, but we're led of your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our church. I thank you for the 165 people that have come to the Tuesday night because they have faithfully said, we want to be equipped to go be faithful ambassadors for Jesus. Thank you, God. And I pray you'd strengthen us tonight. Help us, God. We love you, Jesus.